All right, y'all, we're back for another episode of Politically Incorrect. I'm joined today with the only person that gives a fuck about the pod. Michael, how you doing today? Oh man, I'm great, man. I really, I've just been, I've been chilling, I had a nice Thanksgiving, took some time off, was able to recalibrate, regather myself for the final stretch of the year. Man, that sounds good, man. I really appreciate you for being here today. Yeah, no, cool. So I guess we'll go ahead and get into the episode since we got everybody here today. Everybody that gives a fuck about the pod. Let's see. I think I'm gonna be shitting on defensive players today. That's what I think I'm gonna do. The episode last week, that I had, kind of recapping some football shit. I don't think I ever put that episode out. So quick update on that. My picks that I made back in August were currently sitting at 192 and 166. As a matter of fact, I did not include last night's Monday night game, but I'm pretty sure I had the Colts winning and they didn't, so I'm pretty sure I'm now 192 and 168. But that still has me at around 53%. I was 53.6 before that game happened, but I'm pretty sure I picked the Colts to win. So that definitely dropped me, but still 53%. So, we're above 500 still. We're still, doing better than breaking even. But we would like to be around that 54 or higher mark. So, yeah, still working on it. But again, these were picks I made back in August off of, just speculation and projection of what I think these teams are going to be. And for the most part, I've been not doing too great. But as far as the NFC East and the NFC South, I've been killing it. If I just picked those two divisions, I would be like 70%. But anyway, also NBA, I had, as they showed this highlight, NBA, I had, my system that I talked about earlier in the year. We're going to be picking against the Jazz, the who finally started to lose some games. So, it's starting to, work out a little bit. We are picking against the Spurs and the Pacers. The Pacers are starting to look like the team that I, again, as this highlight plays, the Pacers are starting to look like the team that's gonna, possibly fuck me over. The Jazz are, regressing to where we thought they would be. They were the one seed this time last week, now they're the nine seed. That, I guess, kind of just speaks to the depth of the Western Conference at this moment in time. And then teams that were picking to win every time they play was obviously Golden State, which has been a little rough, but looks like they might have figured something out. The Nuggets, who've they've been solid. They've been solid this far. They're still trying to reincorporate Jamal Murray as well as Michael Porter Jr. into the team. And I think once they do get those guys going, Denver's going to be a serious problem. But we'll see. The Clippers. Who I still think are the deepest team in the NBA. They just don't really give a fuck about playing. And I think I have a theory. I think I hope this is the case. Because I hope that the Clippers organization isn't so cocky to believe that they can legitimately get away with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George playing maybe 30 games together and having enough chemistry to be ready to win a championship. I seriously hope that that's not the case, and that's not the. I hope that organization isn't rocking around with that level of hubris. What I actually hope and believe is that, like, maybe after Christmas, maybe even going into January, Kawhi is just gonna be like, all right, fine. Like, I'll play now. There's like, maybe 45, 50 games left in the season. All right, I'm here now. Maybe he just decided, like, yeah, October through December, like, y'all not gonna see me. Like, fuck all that. Cool. I hope that that's the understanding and the agreement that they have, but I'm fearful that it's that's not the case. But we're still picking them. And the who else? Who the Bucks? The Bucks, who are currently sitting, I believe, two in the Eastern Conference. And currently, with that NBA system that I, started with this year, we are 84 and 61, which is good for 57.9%. I'd like to round up and make it 58%. So, pretty good. Pretty good. Just saying, pretty good. But anyway, I want to talk about a little football today. I want to shit on defensive players. I've been watching football for quite some time, and I'm starting to come to the realization that in general, and again, I've watched and also played, but in general, I'm starting to come to the conclusion that defensive players tend to be lower IQ. Now, whenever I say this, in general. I'm mostly speaking about defensive linemen, but linebackers, corners, safeties. And again, in general, does that mean all? Absolutely not. There are definitely some high IQ, and when I say low IQ, I mostly mean football IQ, but in general, it tends to hold up that, these are just lower IQ individuals. In general, in my opinion. And like just as we're watching the game, and then again, back in my, playing days and practice and everything, just, the interactions and things I would see on the daily from defensive players, like a ball could clearly, everybody in the stadium can see it is an incomplete pass. And a nigga will pick it up like it's a fumble and just start taking off. Like, I'm just like, bro, why are you exerting all this energy? Well, like, that's low IQ to me, low exerting all this energy. But like, what? I don't understand why you thought that was a live ball. And I see this every single week from all levels. And I'm just like, why? I don't understand. I don't understand what it is that you think is going on. And then also just the uncontrolled aggression of defensive players. Like, a guy is clearly out of bounds, or he is clearly giving himself up. And you're just going balls to the wall. Like, you do know that's a penalty. You do know that's 15 yards. So if you're gonna do it, you better fucking do it and make sure that that nigga is not gonna play for the rest of the game. Like, if you're gonna do some dumb shit, do it all the way. That's the, like, I just don't understand. Like, a couple of weeks ago, Philly and I think it was the Redskins. I forget the guy's name, the linebacker. He fucking, and he looked like he was kind of trying to pull up, but like, nigga, he was down. Tyler Heinicke was on his fucking knees. And then I forget what the game was I was watching earlier this weekend. A guy's clearly like two, three steps out of bounds, and a fucking linebacker just comes and throws a nigga into the wall. I'm like, what exactly did you think was going to happen? And then when the ref throws the flag, they're like, bro, what are you talking about? What are you doing? Man, you can't even touch these guys, man. This is crazy. Like, I just, I, what? These guys, I don't understand. And then something that I really absolutely fucking hated as an offensive lineman, but can understand why it's done, is the dummy count. Like, when it's fourth and one, fourth and two, and they don't have a play called, but they just want to think that they can draw the defense off sides. And honestly, as a defensive player, you should take that as disrespect. And honestly, a main reason why I hated that shit as an offensive lineman, most of the time, that shit did not work. Like, the effectiveness of getting them to jump off sides, it's about the same. I honestly believe it's about the same rate as a fucking onside kick. Like, come on now. Like, that really annoyed the fuck of me at an offensive lineman. But that just shows you how offensive coaches think, how stupid defensive players are. And then the few t and then and what really blows my mind, whenever they don't jump off sides, they fucking get hyped like they fucking did something. I'm like, yeah, you did your job. You did the absolute bare. You didn't jump off sides when they didn't snap the ball, and you're celebrating like you just won a fucking Super Bowl. I don't understand this shit. Like, it's I really, really hate these niggas just be hyped for nothing. Like, it's like some fucking special ed shit. Like, a quarterback will throw the ball 90 yards into the stands, and a nigga will act like he's fucking prime time Deion Sanders. Like, yeah, nah, shut down. That's all me. That's all. No, the quarterback made a bad play. The quarterback made a bad throw, and you're acting like you fucking like that's some behavior to me. I don't understand it. Like, defensive players, I is crazy. And another and one thing that I really it really upsets the fuck out of me with defense. And if you play football, you've heard it before. One guy can make a play on defense. And one guy can break a play on offense. But the thing that they don't say, and the thing that really, really pisses me off, going kind of back to what I just said, if an offensive player makes one mistake, any one of the 11 guys makes one mistake, a defensive nigga is going to be celebrating like he just scored a game-winning touchdown. I'm like, bro, you didn't do shit. You really didn't do shit. Like, these niggas, they're the one that really solidified this for me, and again, that I can I could go on and I just, this is all, you know, I'll just start picking these shits out every week whenever I'm watching this shit. Maybe this will just be a reoccurring thing. But this past week, Seattle played the Raiders. And I think it was like the first play of the game, Derek Carr threw an interception. And Seattle's running back, and the guy for Seattle was clearly untouched. He just caught the ball, he went to the ground, and then came back and started returning it. And a nigga on the fucking Seattle Seahawks, I'm assuming he was on defense because he's wearing number 52. He runs onto the field. He was not a part of the play. He runs onto the field during the interception return because his dumbass wants to go celebrate because he thinks that they're all, you know how they do. And that is something that I do like, that something I'm glad that COVID brought about. I love whenever the defense has like a fumble interception, something like that, and then they fucking run to the end zone. All of them fall. Like, I like that shit. I like that shit. Like, you know, hey, go ahead and celebrate your shit. Like, when it's deserved, go ahead and celebrate your shit because y'all don't really get the opportunity, or at least in the past, didn't really have the opportunity to do that. So I like that. I like the team celebrations for defensive stops and things like that. But you gotta make sure the play is over, dumbass. And the fact that the refs honestly missed that is crazy. The fact that the refs completely missed a nigger running onto the field and blocking, and he didn't even mean to block. He was trying to go celebrate like a fucking interception, like, bro, these niggas are low IQ. These niggas are low IQ, bro. I don't understand. Anyway, as I was watching the game, I was thinking, you know, we're going in on defense today. We're going in on defense. This one, I don't think I'm going to be going in on defensive players, but we're just talking about defense. You know how they say, like, you know, there's the memes and, you know, tweets and shit about like Nick Bosa, like, 'cause he, you know, I think he like said the N-word or tweeted the N-word or something like that back in the day. So like there used to always be like whenever he sees a black QB, like he just fucking turns it up. So I was thinking, you know, what if that is, I mean, I don't think that, I mean, I guess it's possible, but I don't think he's racist. I mean, I think it's hard to be around that many black people and to be racist. But then again, you're not around, like, you know, the you're not around the best. Like, I mean, I'm not, just because I'm saying defensive players are low IQ does not, hey, I know some dumb ass offensive players as well, on and off the field. I just think the higher concentration of them play on the other side of the ball. But I was thinking, what if, let's just play into this narrative that Nick Bosa is racist and he turns it up whenever he sees a black QB. Well, as long as he's, you know, playing within the confines of the game and, you know, playing by the rules, like, I mean, is that not what you want? Is that not what you want? Like, I mean, kind of like the same thing, like, you know, the jokes that they had last year whenever Carl Nassib came out. It's just like, hey, bro, like, if you're gay, you're telling me I'm getting paid millions of dollars if I can end this play on top of that guy? I would love to do this. So, I mean, you know, same thing. If you're a racist white guy and you see fucking Lamar Jackson back there, you're telling me, like, oh, hold on. You're telling me you're paying me millions of dollars to hit this nigga as hard as I can? Say less. I'm getting back there. I'm getting the fuck back there. Oh, and I got a nigga blocking me? Oh, this is double kill. So I was thinking, what if fucking like Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett were just, and Michael Strahan were just fucking racist ass black dudes, fucking hating white guys, because like that level of like talent and ability that they already have, and then you give them that extra layer of motivation, racism. Oh man, that'd be fire. That'd be fire. I mean, you know, I think it would. I think the game would be better if more defensive linemen were racist. Now, not for offensive linemen. That's absolute hell. Absolute hell. Because like you already want to, you know, make the play, make the sack, and everything already. But like, if you get that extra, like, bro, that little extra, that would be a very problematic, I believe. Back to shitting on defensive players. Aaron Donald. I know I've said this before in this podcast, so I'm not going to stay on it too long, but Aaron Donald's got to be the most overrated player in the history of the NFL. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. I don't see anything special about this guy. He's a defensive lineman. No defensive line. You know what? I'll take that back. The only time I've ever seen a defense, my fault, an interior defensive lineman dominate a game was Ndamukong Suh in college. And Ndamukong Suh, I think that Big 12 championship game in 09, in which they still ended up losing, so but an interior defensive lineman is not changing the entire game like that. I don't understand. I don't understand. You can put two guys on them. You can put three guys on them. And then they don't go hard every single play. Trust me, I know. They don't go hard every single play. And I hate the dick eating that goes on for Aaron Donald. Do I want to block him? Absolutely not. Like one on one, yeah, he's probably good. But he sees one on ones, pretty often, and he doesn't jump off the screen every single time he sees a one on one. I don't understand why we act like an interior defensive lineman is a game changer like that. Because Aaron Donald's still on the Rams. He's been playing every single game this year. So if he's that guy, they still have Aaron Donald. They still have Jalen Ramsey. They still have, I forget another guy that's on the defensive line that's pretty good. Like the names, the individual names, phenomenal. So why are they 3-7 or 4-7 or whatever the fuck they are? I mean, we were told last year that Matthew Stafford, if he had a good team around him, man, he could have won a bunch of Super Bowls. He could have done X, Y, Z. I'm like, bro, I'm not trying to hear this shit with Matthew Stafford. Is he a good quarterback? Is he, does he make good throws and all that shit? Yeah, sure, absolutely. But like, I don't want to hear that, oh, he was stuck in Detroit. Nigga had Calvin Johnson, arguably the best wide receiver of my lifetime. Arguably. Well, okay. The most gifted, arguably. But then again, I mean, T.O. was, crazy. And I mean, they do have similar skill set. Maybe Calvin Johnson was a little bit taller. Maybe Calvin Johnson was a little bit taller, but him and T.O. are. Either way, Matthew Stafford had one of the best wide receivers of this generation. You don't think maybe that was the reason why he was able to be so, successful? And then he gets to the Rams and has Cooper Kupp and Odell and a solid tight end? Like, you don't think, whatever, whatever. But this is about Aaron Donald. It over fucking rated. Over fucking rated. I don't see it. I don't know what it is. Get off his dick. Now, defensive end. Yeah, no, I think you can be a game changer as a defensive end. But an interior defensive line, like, no. No. Has he had a multiple sack game this season? Probably has, but I'm just ignorant to it. But, like, he's not. They're 3-7. They're 3-7. Do you want to have a generational transcendent quarterback or defensive tackle? Do you want to have a generational transcendent receiver or defensive tackle? The Rams won last year because of Cooper Kupp. They made a big deal about Aaron Donald. They won because of Cooper Kupp. Fuck it. Fuck it, dude. Whatever. I'm off it. Fuck defense. Respectfully. Respectfully. Because, I do know. Well, you, whatever. But other people that. Listen to this podcast and play defense. And I said in general, I believe defensive players are lower IQ. One of the last things I want to talk about. Do I want to say it? Do I want to say it? Fuck it, we're gonna say it. So, Coach K. Lauffer, I forget what school. Well, I didn't forget. I'm just not gonna say that part. But he was coaching at a school last year. And they had some very good talent at that school. Very, very good talent. As a matter of fact, K coached the number one tight end in the nation last year. Committed to Texas A&M. They also had some other guys in that school that went to Texas A&M. And, well, one of the guys is, he's in a bit of trouble right now. Apparently, I believe, if I'm reading or remembering correctly, he was caught with 7 pounds of weed in his travel bag. Yes, in his travel bag. Apparently the bag was, the bag that had like, A&M and everything on it and his name and number on it. So it's pretty clear and obvious who it belonged to. And that's even more hilarious and sad, because apparently these guys were smoking in the locker room earlier in the season, I believe against South Carolina. They were caught smoking. Oh, and mind you, they were on the road. They were in South Carolina. And, I've traveled to many football games in college and, would it have been possible? Hell, I may have even had teammates that did it. But would it have been possible to bring drugs on the plane? Yeah, no, we did have canines. We did have canines.
but possibly may have gotten done. I'm gonna be. I'm talking about road games, home games. That's a completely different story. What was going on at home games? But you doing this shit in the locker room in a different state? Shit, crazy. So they got suspended, and you know all that shit. Well, one of the guys that got suspended, he didn't learn from the error of his ways, and apparently he's signed a trap. Which really blows my mind, because like I can almost understand back in the day, guys having to do what they need to do, you know, get some money while they were playing in college. But now these guys are getting NIL deals, and they're able to like market themselves and, you know, capitalize off of the fact that they are one of 100 people on that campus that are a part of the football team. You know, one of, you know, maybe 60, 70 people on scholarship on that, like on that campus. Like, you know, I'm, you know, maybe, just maybe, you're able to find somebody that wants to help you out. Hell, I was even in situations where I was able to be helped out. I know that a guy at Texas A&M, a 4- or 5-star recruit that committed to Texas A&M, can possibly find some funds. But instead, niggas want to sell drugs. Or allegedly sell drugs. He's in possession of a high quantity of drugs. So that had me think, guys. Now, we know the NCAA feels a certain way about drugs, as they should, sure, whatever. But legally, outside of NCAA, that's its own entity, private entity. Legally, if you want to do drugs, weed, for in this instance, if you want to sell weed and smoke weed and all that, why are you going to schools where the state law is not in your favor? I don't understand it. If you know that weed is something that you fuck with, it's a part of your lifestyle, all that, there's about 20 schools in California. There's like 10 schools in Colorado. There's like a bunch of schools. Well, not a bunch, but there's schools in the D.C. area. Like, you can go to places where you can somewhat do these things. Why are you choosing to, I don't understand. If you know that it's that important to you, and hell, honestly, I know the NCAA wouldn't like it, but like, if you were a coach at fucking USC, UCLA, Colorado, like Colorado State, something like that, like, bro, like, you know, I would just be like, hey, man, hey, you know, when the NCAA comes in and they do the test, like, hey, you know, you better be all right. And honestly, we prefer that you didn't. And if you ever show up to a practice or a meeting like that, then there will be problems. But when we don't see you, you know, don't ask, don't tell. And if you just so happen to get pulled over in a jam, you're in a state that's accepting of this behavior. I don't understand how guys have a Colorado and California, and I think Washington too. I already mentioned DC. I think now New Jersey. There's a couple of states out there. Like, nigga, go to these schools. Go to these places. I don't understand why you're putting yourself in a situation that now you're fucked. Like, Alice Caruso had to learn the hard way. Like, you know, he went to A&M. I believe he's from Texas, but nigga was with the Lakers. He was in L.A. He was doing his thing, but then he got jammed up when he came back to Texas. You gotta understand, this is the same shit with Brittany Griner. This is the same shit. You have to understand where you're at and what is accepted and what is not. You have to understand and acknowledge that. Don't believe and don't just think just because you're of a certain class, perceived class, that you're going to get this certain special privileges. Like Deion Sanders said, not everybody's with you. Just because you have that status, just because you have that, you know, label, a lot of people are envious of that. A lot of people are jealous of that. A lot of people want to dim your light because of that. Go to these places where they don't give a fuck, guys. I don't understand. If I had a son and I knew that this is something he partook in, I'm like, all right, so I know, you know, Texas is a bigger school or Miami's cool or, you know, yada, yada. But you should probably go to USC if, you know, you're going to be a part of this, because, you know, if I get that phone call that you was locked up because of XYZ, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm going to take care of you, my son. I'll be mad as fuck about it. Like, yo, dumbass should have went to Colorado. Yo, dumbass should have went to Colorado. But no, you wanted to fucking go to fucking mega country. Anyway. Go ahead and end with this, because I do have a... I'm not even going to tease it. If you know, you know, and you'll see it, and you'll be able to indulge. It's something that I like to keep on the reps. But I was thinking the other day, this girl sent me a picture of her cat, and her cat had a mustache. Like, she taped a mustache or glued a mustache to her cat, and I think that, I think you could consider that animal abuse, but whatever. And I was gonna make a joke, and I was like, "Well, so your cat's trans?" Because for some reason, I just always thought that all cats were female, but obviously, that can't be the case, because if all cats were female, then cats would have been extinct a long time ago. Or how are they reproducing? How are they continuing to, be here? So then I thought about it, and I was like, well, wait a second. If cats reproduce, I've never seen a cat's dick. Do cats have dicks? Yeah, like, obviously they would have to have dicks because, I mean, I would assume that they would have to have dicks, they can, reproduce, but I don't even think, like, we've seen dogs humping and, we've seen other animals, we've seen videos or whatever just throughout our lives, but I've never seen a cat's dick. And I mean, I was gonna, Google it and, look into it and everything, but I really just, one, don't want that in my search history. Two, I'm a little bit afraid of what I would see if I Google cat's dick. But I was very much flabbergasted and taken aback for quite some time as I was having this thought. I'm just like, yo, how? How do I don't do cats have dicks? So if you ever seen a cat dick, you know what? I'm gonna make that the question. You only see it if you listen on Spotify, I believe. Maybe it shows up on Apple and other platforms, but they started adding questions, whatever, so you can engage with the show. So yeah, no, I'm gonna that's gonna be my question for this episode. Do cats have dicks? Have you ever seen a cat's dick? Are cat dicks a myth? I don't know. You tell me. Appreciate y'all for listening. If you listen on Spotify, be on the lookout for more episodes this week.